I thought I did.
All right, James chapter number 1, and we're going to go ahead and read verse 12 down through verse 15. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." All we'd like to do is bring our sermon this evening on this real quick, simple thought of slipping on LSD. Slipping on LSD. Heavenly Father, would you thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us? Would you pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this day? And we ask you, Father, please, to help me to present the sermon this evening the way that you'd have me to. It'll be helpful for everyone here, and everyone will get exactly what they need out of the sermon. We pray, Lord, for those who couldn't be here tonight due to illness or work or whatever the case is there, Lord, that they'd be able to join us at the next appointed time. And we ask you, Lord, once again, for each one of the prayer requests, that you take care of them as you see fit. We love you, Father, and in the name of Jesus Christ, we're asking you all this in His name. Amen and amen. Started thinking about that old song, Lakeshore Drive, and I remember my dad telling me years ago that the song was about LSD, you know, and it just fit with Lakeshore Drive, so it's them taking the acid and all this stuff there. And truth be told, we really don't know if that's what the case is or not. You look it up there on Wikipedia, and it talks about how it's just trying to encapsulate how fun it is to drive down Lakeshore Drive going into Chicago and coming out of Chicago, and you get to have all this fun there. And it's like, I'm sorry, maybe I just don't like Chicago that much, but it's not fun to drive on Lakeshore Drive. It's not fun to drive on any street in Chicago, but that's me. And so, yeah, I kind of believe more of the myth that it's based off of the drugs there. But, you know, be that as it may, the whole fact of the matter is that a great many people are slipping on LSD. Lust, sin, and death. Ray Stedman, in his book Understanding Man, he wrote this. He said, "The first step the devil takes is always to arouse desire to do wrong, to create a hunger, a lure or enticement towards evil. The second is to permit intent to form and an act to occur. As James describes it, desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin." And there's the whole play there on the conception and birth process that is taking place here in this passage of Scripture. And the whole thing about how you've got the, you go from one stage to the other stage, so finally you got the stage of death there. And yeah, you start taking those drugs there, yeah, you can end up with the death eventually. And the way that some of these people drive there in Chicago, yeah, you could easily be tempting yourself to end up dead that way as well. My soul, I won't get into some of the horror stories I've got from Chicago, but you know, be that as it may, the whole thing is that when we start playing around with lust, we're going to get more than what we desire. We're going to find a whole lot more problems. Even thinking about the whole thing here with conception and birth, and just how many stories end up there at the Planned Parenthood and such. Well, I just wanted the fun. We're enjoying, you know, what we've got and all that. Certainly never meant to get pregnant. And what happens? An innocent life has to pay the price for someone else's mistakes. Sometimes we end up paying for our own mistakes. I was actually here listening to a fellow talk the other day about David. And he was talking about how David was recording there in the 51st Psalm, and he made mention of this one particular part there. I don't remember the exact verse. But this guy was speculating that David actually had a disease, an STD from, you know, all the different wives and concubines that he had. Okay, I don't know if that was the case or not. I wasn't alive back then, and I certainly wasn't David's personal physician, so I've got no idea. But you can imagine the lusting and getting into the sin. Yeah, it could easily end up leading to a problem such as that even there. And we certainly know some of these diseases do lead directly to the grave. And that's just how our world is working nowadays. We're just slipping on down through this as quickly as we can. And if we're not slipping quick enough, we start helping ourselves, pulling along. Come on, I got to get there even quicker than the way I am right now. And it's not just in simply in those terms either. You know, we can easily sit here and look at other areas of our lives. Well, you know, okay, I'm not getting off into those types of sins there, but I'm indulging in another sin over here where I'm working myself to death. I'm worrying about everything else under the sun that I don't need to be worried about, and all it's doing is sitting here destroying our minds, and the stress is destroying our hearts and causing strokes and heart attacks. Worry is still sin, because worry is the opposite of faith. So we need to be careful that we are not slipping on all this LSD, lusting. You know, it doesn't always have to be something beautiful that we're lusting after. We could literally be lusting after all the negativity as well. Oh, I'm just waiting on the next shoe to fall. Well, keep it up. You're going to push the shoe down on yourself in the process. But I want you to notice a few things here in our text that is talking about this. And I want you to know, first of all here, that there's a confirmation involved. Verse number 12. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, tests, or trials." In fact, the word temptation also means to put to proof. In other words, to find out what is on the inside. So he says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Now, what's going on with this confirmation here? It's the temptation that's taking place here is not a temptation to do wrong. It is a test to find out what exactly is on the inside. What are you made of? And it's not that God doesn't know what's going on, it's so that we know what's going on. I used to like to watch that show Pawn Stars. And there was this one time where this guy walked in and he had, it was over $100,000 worth of silver. A bunch of silver coins that he was wanting to sell. He had some silver bars that he was wanting to sell. And then he had this great big silver brick that he was wanting to sell. And the owner of the shop looked at it and says, "The coins, no problem. We can do business on them." He looked at the silver bars and he says, "I know that mark that is stamped into those silver bars. The proof is there. These are legit. We can easily do business on all of those. But the great big silver brick you got, I can't trust it. You may have a block of steel inside of the silver casing. It could have lead inside of there. What I've got to do is I've got to take it in the back and I've got to drill it and look and see what's inside." And that's exactly what he did. He went in the back, he drilled into it, found that it was silver all the way through. He put some different chemicals in there to test the silver. Oh yeah, this is the good stuff. What was he doing? He was trying it. He was proving what is on the inside. It didn't have the marks on the outside, but he could look at it and say, "Yeah, that's the real stuff." He got in there and he found out, this is the right stuff here. He confirmed what was going on there. And the Bible talks about here, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, who is confirmed, who has been proven that he's going to follow God, that he is someone who loves the Lord. Yeah, he might fall. He might fall down 7 times, but he gets back up 7 times. We are running a race to the finish line. But let me tell you something. No one is going to cross that finish line without having fallen down a couple of times. And some of us, it's literally a matter of we fell down, we picked ourselves up, took a step, and fell down again. Keep making your way to the finish line there, church. Yeah, it may not be pretty. It may not be the way we want it to be. Cross the finish line. See what God's got for you there. We endure the temptation here. We're not going to have to worry about slipping on the LSD. But if we don't endure the temptation, now this is not a temptation to actually sin, this is a temptation to try us, to test us, to help us understand what it is that we are made of. We'll be better off. But if we don't endure, if we just throw in the towel, forget it, I can't do it, I can't make it on my own, then we can't be surprised when we start slipping down a very slippery slope down this hill that's going to end up in disaster for us. So notice here in verse number 13, we find the collusion that's taking place. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Now let me just pause here real quickly. Twice we see the word tempted. And I'm not going to tell you what that Greek word is. Suffice it to say, the word means to be enticed, to be drawn to something here. He says, let no man say when he is tempted, when he is drawn to something, I am drawn here of God. I've been enticed of God. He says, no, that's not how it works with God. God is going to prove you. Satan is going to be trying to draw you off. God is going to be showing you what you're made of. Satan's going to be showing you what you can, quote unquote, have if you'll just follow after him. All the good stuff that he's got for you, that's a bunch of malarkey there, pardon my French, and he's going to be giving you all this stuff here that does not work. You think about the wilderness temptations there. And one of them was that he took Jesus to this pinnacle there and he showed him all of the kingdoms of the earth. He says, I'm going to give you all these if you'll just fall down and worship me. First blush, that sounds like a pretty good deal. Jesus doesn't have to go to the cross. He doesn't have to endure all the pain. He doesn't have to endure all the shame. He doesn't have to have his friends betraying him and running away. And it's just for a quick instant that he has to fall down and worship. Can it really be that bad? Well, the kingdoms of the world weren't Satan's to give to him to begin with. And even if they were, it was only for that brief moment because Satan is a finite creature. He doesn't have all power. Jesus would have been selling us out to yield to the temptation to avoid the problem and get what little bit there was. When in fact he was going to the cross to buy the salvation for all those who died from Abel all the way down to the very last person who will ever be saved, buying everyone's salvation, even the salvation of those who will not accept Jesus as their Savior. He has still purchased that salvation. So when the Bible talks about here, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. It ain't God going to be tempting you to do that stuff. That's going to be Satan tempting you. Now let's continue with the verse. For God cannot be tempted with evil. This word tempted here is in reference to not liable to temptation of sin. In other words, he's not going to give in. Jesus didn't give in to that temptation there in the wilderness. Didn't give in to any of them. And as we've said before, there Matthew records the last three temptations. Luke records the last three temptations, but also that Jesus had been tempted for 40 days. Hebrews tells us that He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. God's not going to give in to this temptation. You and I might, because we're human. We tend to yield pretty quickly. The verse goes on to say, neither tempteth He any man. Now this fourth tempteth, or tempted, it's wrote as tempteth here. It's the same word translated tempted in the first two times in the verse there. It means to be enticed. In other words, He's not going to be sitting here working against Himself. God is not going to be sitting here trying to do the exact opposite thing that He wants to accomplish. Neither tempteth He any man. Not going to do it. But everything else around us, other human beings, things in this world, beauty that the world has to offer, the illicit drugs this world has to offer, the booze there, and all this other stuff there. Yeah, it is tempting us. It is working against us. It is in collusion to destroy us. But God says, I stand apart from all that. So that He can help us. Because remember, He wants to confirm us, not to collude against us. But verse 14 here says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts or desires and enticed. Now, the word tempted, again, that's the same one that means to be enticed. Interesting, though, that the apostle here finishes off verse number 14 by using that word enticed. And I got to looking up that one because I'm like, well, really? Did we need to have tempted simply wrote out as enticed this time? And it turns out, yeah, we did. Because this time the word enticed is a different Greek word than the word tempted. And this means to catch by bait. In fact, a very specific bait. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. He spots that one specific bait. That one temptation that works on you every single time. It at least catches your eye, even if you don't fall for it. It's like, oh yeah. Man, I've got to avoid that thing like the plague. I've got to stay away from that one. Lord, I'm really in need of a lot of prayer and a lot of help right now, because we both know that's the one that works on me. That's the one that gets me every single time. It may not have no effect on you, but it tears me up. And what tears you up may not affect me at all. But that's what it's talking about here. That one temptation that gets a hold of you. It gets under your skin so easily. And if you ain't prayed up and you ain't studied up and you ain't close enough to God, guess what? You're getting ready to be doing some slipping. And you know what happens when you start slipping? You got problems. Take your car and go out there, start driving around in the mud. If you ain't got a limited slip differential on that axle, when you get out in that mud so far, you're going to find one tire is going to stop. Even if it's a rear-wheel drive. Let's just say it's a rear-wheel drive. You're going to have one tire stop on you and the other one just sit there and spin. Because that one tire ain't got no grip. The car just doesn't know what to do. Okay, all the power is going to this side and nothing to this side. That one is stuck. This one is stuck because all it's doing is slipping. Of course, if you get something in there to give you a bit of a grip, the tire that's dead in the water will suddenly start turning. The tire that's not moving, or the tire that's sitting there spinning, can start moving out. I remember years ago at dug up a lot of dirt. I forget what reason it was there at the house. And we took it over there to Sunrise. We had a really low spot behind the church. And I drove my pickup truck around back there, and I shoveled all that dirt out there. And I filled in some of that low spot there, got in my truck, put it in gear, stepped on the gas, and I ain't going nowhere. Well, I took all the weight out of my truck. I couldn't get a grip. Man, I'm in trouble. I went and I got a 2x4 out of the church there and put it down. I'm like, well, jamming under that wheel there real good. I mean, I dug out underneath that wheel so I could jam it in. Nope, ain't going nowhere. Man, I tried rocking it. I ain't going nowhere. You know what I had to do to get me some grip? I had to go over to the parking lot that was made out of gravel, get me a bucket full of gravel, and go back over there and throw it in front of the tire and the back of the tire, and that allowed me to finally get a little bit of traction going on there. You know what it was? I had some rocks down underneath there, and what is this? This is the firm, sure Word of God, and Jesus Christ, He is the rock of our salvation. He is the sure foundation for us there, and because if we get on Him, we are able to finally get a grip again, and we can start proceeding the way that He'd have us to go. But so long as we're out there slipping on by on what we are tempted by, what works on us, what we just like to have, and we just walk the balls on it, we are going to be slipping all the day long till we finally wreck ourselves in the process. I could easily just keep on gunning that engine, trying to get out of that mud and blown the engine in the process. Destroy the transmission. Who knows what all. How much do we do that in our own lives when we sit there saying, I've got to do it my way instead of His way? But that's why it's LSD. Lust, sin, death. But it's colluding against us. And it's colluding against us because it wants to bring calamity into our lives. Notice with me here in verse number 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You know, that's an interesting thought there real quickly. When it is finished. When it is finished, church, it's... How do I want to put this? It's not going to finish before it's ready. In other words, if it feels like dragging you through the mud for a few miles, that's what it's going to do. If it's going to drag you through the mud and the muck of this world for a few years, that's what it's going to do. It's like in the Old West there when they decide to teach somebody a lesson and they throw the lasso around them and they start dragging them through the streets. They're up there riding their horse, dragging that person along. Hey, man, oh, there's some bushes over there. Let's drag them through the bushes. Oh, let's just keep dragging them along this rocky road here. And let's tear this guy up real good. And that's exactly what it is going to do with us. It's toying with us. That's the word I'm looking for. It's toying with us, deliberately messing with us to make it hurt as much as possible. But at the same time, oh, don't this feel so good? Isn't this wonderful? Never mind your liver is dying, your lungs are dying, your brain is dying. Never mind that. All you need is what makes you feel good. But that's why that word there at the end of verse 15, death, means destruction or ruin. Because it's seeking not just to kill you, but to finish you. To finish you off. That's calamity if you ask me. But James cautions us though here in verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. If you're heading this way, turn around. Don't keep gunning the engine thinking you're going to be able to outrun it. Don't keep trying to go even deeper into sin thinking you'll just get to that point, okay, I can't stand it no more, I'm just going to go ahead and quit cold turkey now. It's not going to work that way. Don't keep playing with the sin, because the sin is really playing with you. But it's like the cat playing with the doomed mouse. It's just a matter of time until the cat finally kills the mouse. If this is how you're doing, get away. Wrote down here at the bottom of the page, it says, David wasn't tempted by power or money, but when he took that second wife, he revealed what temptation worked on him. It didn't say when he took Bathsheba and had that affair slash rape, whatever exactly it was. It said when he took that second wife. That second look is what's going to get us into trouble. Well, I need to verify, did I see what I think I saw? If you think you saw it, you probably saw it. Leave it be. Don't go running in there and embracing it with arms open wide. As it may embrace you back, but it's got a knife in each hand stabbing you in the back, trying to kill you in the process, church. How's your footing this evening? Bible says that he that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. Very sound advice. But I think that's why the best position for our prayers is when we're down on our knees. Even if we can't get down there physically, we at least get down there spiritually. Because when you're down on your knees, you ain't got to worry about your feet. Because your feet are only so wide. Your knees down there to your foot, that's a whole lot wider. And you've cut down on all this height. You've lowered your center of gravity to here. Makes it a lot harder for you to fall over. How is our footing here this evening? Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this day. And pray that everyone here was able to get exactly what it is that they needed out of the sermon. We do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this day. And for everyone as we go about to make our way home this evening, help us, Father, please, to be obedient to you. And we do pray, Lord, for our church that we will grow to be the church that you'd have us to be here in Lake Station. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.